Hello, and welcome to worship with Old South Church in Boston. Here's who we are. We are young and old and all sorts in between. Queer, straight, trans, wrapped in many hues, defined and undefined. Some of us have our stuff together and some of us don't. We are music lovers and seekers after meaning and retreat. We are local and afar, been to church every Sunday, and haven't stepped into one in years. We are messy and complicated, truthful and willing. Simply put, we are an honest-to-goodness household of God, and we are really glad that you are part of it today. So now it's your turn. Tell us who you are. Fill out our virtual friendship pad by visiting oldsouth.org/Sundays. Let us know a bit about who you are and how you found us and what's on your mind. If you leave us enough information, we will write you back. On that same page, you will find links to our community hour on Zoom. Today, you can join us in a conversation on today's sermon topic and worship service. So join us. Friends, no matter where or how life is finding you right now, you are right where you need to be, here. Welcome home. On this Memorial Day Sunday, let us pray. Holy God, your love is stronger than death, and your life-giving power has no end. We pause today to acknowledge and remember all of those who have lost their lives by the violence of war, ours and theirs. Comfort and sustain all those who are left to mourn, and stir within us all the passion to work for justice, dignity and peace for all people of the world, until the day comes when war is no more, and you wipe all tears from our eyes, and your peace is everlasting. Amen. Kids, good to have you with us. Happy Sunday. Today we are going to learn about listening for God's voice. Never place a period where God has placed a comma. God is still speaking. Now, some people think that God stopped speaking when the Bible was finished. See, a Bible has a front cover, right, and a back cover. And some people think that the back cover is like a period, and that God stopped speaking at the last period in the last book of the Bible. But what if someone wrote a book about me? When the book is finished and has a back cover, and a front cover, and a last sentence, which ends in a period, does it mean that I stopped speaking? Does it mean that every word I will ever say is in here? No, I am still speaking. It's the same with God. Just because there is a book written about God doesn't mean God stopped speaking, right? And if God is still speaking, then oh my, we had better be listening. So, how does God speak? Well, one way God speaks is through the Bible. That's a really important way. Through the people in the Bible, through Moses and Jesus and the prophets, that is a really important way for us to understand and hear God. But it's not the only way God speaks. So, if the Bible is not the only way God speaks, and if God is still speaking, and God is still speaking, how else does God speak? Well, let's ask some strangers on the street what they think.
Here's a stranger. Let's ask her. Excuse me, stranger, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
How do you listen for the voice of God?
I like to listen for the voice of God in nature, in the wind and in the sound of water, in the birds singing and the bees buzzing. I hear God's voice in the sounds of nature.
And what is it that you hear God saying through nature?
The voice of God tells me to care for creation, to protect the animals and the environment. The sounds of nature also tell me to stop making so much noise myself. Stop talking and listen. Sit and listen. Listen and take it in.
Wow. Thank you, good stranger. I will be sure to listen more to nature and through nature to listen for the voice of God. Well, that was a wonderful interview. Let's try again. Let's see. Oh, here's a stranger. Let's ask her. Excuse me, stranger. May I ask you a question? Thank you. How do you listen for the voice of God?
I listen for the voice of God in the voices of children. Children are very spiritual and are especially close to God.
What do you hear God saying through the voices of children?
I hear God saying that we should be innocent as children, that we should live in the moment and not worry about tomorrow, that we should trust God as children trust their parents. And when I listen to children, I also hear God saying that we should play more and work less.
Play more and work less. That sounds like God to me. Thank you very much, good stranger. I will be sure to listen more to children and through children to listen for the voice of God. Well, that was great. So here we are outside again, And let's see if we can find one more person to ask the question of. Oh, there's a stranger. Hello, good stranger. I have a question. I wonder if I could ask you a question. The question is, how do you listen for the voice of God?
Oh, that's easy. I listen for the voice of God at church meetings. Let's say we have something to decide, something hard, a problem that's hard to understand and fix. We go around the table, one by one, and ask each person what God would do. We listen to each other, hoping God will speak through one of us. We listen and listen and listen until God's voice becomes clear.
Remember what we started with? Never place a period where God has placed a comma. God is still speaking. And because God is still speaking, you and I, we had better be listening. Children, for the closing prayer, I invite you to put your hands behind your ears like this and repeat after me. God, you honor us by always listening to our every word, our every need, our every cry. Help us to honor you by listening for your voice. Help us to make time to stop speaking, to sit still and listen. Open our ears and open our hearts to hear your still speaking voice. And let us all say, Amen.
Hello, everyone. My name is Thomas Ruffin, and I'm an organizer with Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, and I'm happy to be here with Old South Church today, and I'll be reading from Isaiah, the 6th chapter, starting with the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2, they covered their face, and with 2, they covered their feet, and with 2, they flew, and one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voice of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that has been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips and your guilt has departed, your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, Here I am. Send me. And he said, Go and say this people. Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Keep the mind of his people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed. Then I said, How long, O Lord? And he said, Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away and vast in the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it would be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is filled. The holy seed is in its stump. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One issue that keeps me up at night is racial policy. I know that I wouldn't be here today if South Africa hadn't enforced affirmative action policy that ensured Black people and people of color are hired and supported to thrive. This is one of many stories that drive my passion and commitment to racial justice and equity. Over the past 2 months, we have heard many such stories from many of you. The Greater Boston Interfaith Organization has invited their member congregations to embark on listening sessions, where we have been asking people to share their justice concerns, as well as stories in their lives that have impacted the issues they care the most about. These concerns shared will feed into GBIO's focus areas for the coming year. One strong correlation was that for most people, the issues they care deeply about today are connected to their own personal experiences or those of someone dear to them. This tells us that our stories matter in knowing and understanding ourselves and each other, in responding to our individual and collective sense of call, and how we might need to move in this world. We know too, in this past year, that it is in hearing the horrific stories of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Nina Pop, the stories of violent discrimination towards people of Asian descent, the stories of displacement and discrimination of Palestinians, that action and organizing began to take place. Stories that we all know have been ongoing for years and years, and yet it was only in their sharing and retelling at scale that people could be held accountable. This is what is made possible when we share and listen to each other's stories. In today's passage, we hear about Isaiah's vision and call story. The glory of God, the voice of God, shakes things up. Isaiah, in despair, cries out for himself and his community. And God responds with a question: Whom shall I send? Will you go for us? And to this, Isaiah responds, Here I am, send me. We hear very similar responses in the call stories of Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Samuel. But in this story in particular, Isaiah isn't called explicitly, but instead chooses or volunteers himself. And sometimes this is how our calls unfold. We put our hands up. In Isaiah's vision, we see God sitting on a throne. We hear the calling of the seraphs. He smells the smoke. He feels the shaking of the temple. He tastes the live coal. Isaiah's vision is all-consuming, an embodiment of all of who he is. And this is the very vision that led him to saying yes to a call from God. Sometimes our visions can feel this way, too grand, too unrealistic, surreal. And this might lead us to ask ourselves, do we even have the courage to articulate our visions and say yes to our call? Responding to our visions, to our call, can be difficult and hard. Very soon after Isaiah's eager yes, we start to experience his uncertainty about a decision he made with haste. We feel his anxiety about doing this divine work. He now sounds very different, faced with the reality of what the hands and feet of call look like. In place of the words, "Here I am, send me," we now hear him crying out, questioning, "How long, O God?" And perhaps wondering if God could have asked someone else instead. Doesn't that happen to us sometimes when there's a call to action and we so eagerly and readily step up? Then the reality of the work sets in. We are still called and are now navigating the day-to-day realities of call. And sometimes, the more we come to understand what this yes means, we want out. For us, this could look like saying yes to racial injustice, and yet the realities of unlearning, of writing emails and making phone calls to governors, of changing where we bank and buy, of altering our conversations with our friends and families, of acknowledging our confusion and not knowing, can feel tedious for some. We too can find ourselves crying out, "How long, O God, how long?" Despite this outcry in the hardship and working out of our call, after Isaiah expressed his and his community's despair, he can now hear God. And God listens to his despair and invites him to do something. And this is the power of expressing our despair, of crying out, of sharing about our deep societal concerns. We can be listened to, and change can happen. And reflecting back on the listening sessions we had, some people said there was something very meaningful about knowing that the stories and issues that people shared will be heard and taken to heart to affect change. Sharing our stories and the things that matter most to us is a deeply vulnerable action. We are telling people something important, meaningful about us. Our personal stories are important. And sharing and understanding them gives us a sense of who we are and tells us about our call. Our stories are an important way to know ourselves and others. They help us to articulate and share in our individual and collective visions. And in sharing, we are reminded that we don't have to carry the weight of our visions and callings alone. Someone in one of the listening sessions said, in others bearing witness, in hearing another's pain and truths, it brings closeness and compassion. It reminds us that we are interconnected and that we are not free until we are all free. In our day today, we are wrestling with answering God's call for our time. We have been discerning and hearing the voice of God to listen for the story that God is co-creating with us to create a more just world. This process of storying is what allows us to begin to imagine and live into an alternate and new reality. And these are some of the issues we have heard are of great importance to you. Climate justice, equity and access in healthcare, access to quality education, police reform, immigration, and so many more. And many of them intersect with racial justice. Howard Thurman says, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. And then go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." In our listening sessions, I can certainly attest to the stories that people shared that make them come alive. When we take a look at the intersection of our stories, our call, our passions, our talents, our sense of purpose, we find life. We come alive. Jackie Lewis says call stories, as varied and as many as they are stories of intersection. The intersection of God's care for and reconciliation of the world. And our individual and collective sense of being and purpose. As we listen, hear, share our stories, we are co-creating and co-authoring with God and each other to create the kind of world that will bring justice to many. In biblical stories, in hearing Isaiah's call story, in hearing the stories of those in our communities, we find ourselves in every telling and retelling. In sharing our stories, we encounter the holy, the overflowing glory of God. We deepen our relationship with God, our understanding and knowing of God, and how she is moving in our lives. Just as Isaiah heard the voice of God say to him, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" The voice of God is calling us today. What is it calling you into? What is it calling us into? Will you go? Will we go? Here I am. Send me. Amen.
How long, O God, will you forget us forever? On November 22, 1998, 45 clergy and community leaders cried out. It was out of these cries that the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization was birthed. At its founding assembly, we heard the cries of over 4,000 delegates across neighborhoods, towns, race, religion, and class lines, committed to find common ground based on shared religious and moral conscience.
In 2001, Old South Church in Boston cried out. We listened, discerning how God might be calling and speaking to us. There began our relationship with GBIO as we shared a common story of transformation of ourselves and the world. In 2015, we had our biggest turnout with 200 Old Southers showing up at the mass campaign held at Trinity Church.
Over the years, our listening and our collective cries transformed Massachusetts healthcare reform, impacted voter turnout for local tax increases to support affordable housing, secured $60 million to launch a STEM school to serve students of color, enacted statewide criminal justice reform, and much more.
In 2020, through Zoom, phone calls, and email, we cried out for racial justice. GBIO launched in-district meetings for statewide police accountability with over 900 people, managed last-minute negotiations and lobbying, worked closely with Senate allies, and made 1,400 calls on policing and healthcare, which affected the passage of policing and healthcare reform. And over 100 Old Southers were involved as liaisons, captains, participants, leaders.
GBIO has been crying out for more than two decades. On March 16th, 2020, GBIO had its refounding assembly where we welcomed 19 new institutions to build collective power and grassroots leadership in our city. The refounding assembly had over 1,200 participants. And now, GBIO is in relationship with 59 organizations and over 100,000 people in Greater Boston. Our collective voice is a force to be reckoned with.
On March 16th, GBIO also launched their listening campaign, providing an opportunity for individuals to share their stories and concerns, which will be an inspiration for action. While there are many competing crises that face our communities, our listening to each other across race, class, religion, and neighborhood allows us to put resources behind our most urgent and impactful issues. We have heard from over 60 Old Southers from Boston, Greater Boston, and beyond.
We asked, when is a time that you felt powerless? What are the impediments that our society puts in your way that prevent you and your family from thriving? What is an experience that has shaped your view of health, safety, and economic security? What keeps you up at night?
This is what we've heard. Climate justice, equity and access to healthcare, equity and access to housing, access to quality education, police reform, immigration reform, and all of these intersecting with racial justice.
The cries from Old South join those rising from the city and from the state, creating a cloud of witnesses that will act together to answer our cries. We see it as our Christian call to answer the cries of our neighbors in need. Hear our cries today, O God, as you have in ages past. As we put our feet to faith, may our collective work help us to move key legislation into law, transforming divine love into law, bending the arc of history towards justice.
Holy God, you are the restless breath of love that sweeps through the world. You move where you will, breaking down barriers, stirring hearts to change, making all things possible. Inspire each of us to hunger and thirst for justice. Our world needs the peace that only you can give. We pray for your children at the Gaza and Israel borders. As so many innocent people die, we pray that your peace might overpower the forces that are bent on destruction. We give thanks that Israel and Hamas have agreed to a ceasefire and pray for lasting peace. Our world needs the healing that only you can give. We continue to pray for the people of India, Brazil, and other parts of the world where COVID is overwhelming healthcare systems and devastating families and communities. Give us hope, O God, that your children might experience good health and life instead of sickness and death. Our world needs the comfort that only you can give. We pray for those we know who are struggling with illness, loss, and hopelessness. We pray especially for Penny, Vicky, Tom, Anna, David, Kimberly, Mary, and Jane. Send your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Strengthen the will of all those who fight for justice and for peace. May the bounty of your goodness be shared more equitably, so all may share in the rich blessings of your creation. We join our voices to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Happy Sunday, Church. This morning, I'm thinking about the gifts that we have all been given. In particular, I'm thinking of each and every one of you, your talents, your skills, your abilities, the ways in which you move throughout this world and within this church. Quietly, sometimes loudly, and perhaps unknowingly, illustrating to others the inclusive nature of God's grace, sharing with them the quiet wonder of this divine embrace. What a special, incredible gift that is to share. I think too of the work of this congregation, whether that is partnering with Snowden High School or with GBIO, or the work of our Climate Crisis Task Force, who consistently and constantly calls all of us to pay attention to the fierce urgency that this moment demands, and also suggest ways for us to respond to what is happening right now. I think two of the members of our congregation who are serving the United Church of Christ, both here in our local association, but also in our conference and in the wider UCC's national bodies too. I think of the reality that in all of this, I see this beautiful illustration of what it really looks like to give and give and give again what God has given unto thee. What a special, incredible honor that is, this gifting process. It's not re-gifting, right? It's recognizing that we've been given something so incredible, so awesome, so powerful, and what its impact might one day be, that we choose to share it with those around us, with those whom we know closely and those with whom we might never actually have the pleasure of meeting. We've simply heard the call to share, to give. And so we do. Because we know that in doing so, we are supporting the ministries of beauty, of justice, of grace. We are responding to a call greater than we might fully comprehend to be instruments of God's great work for our time, for this moment, for our life and community together. So this morning, in that spirit, I invite you to give as you are able. You can do so by hovering your cursor over the live stream to reveal the donate button. You can copy the link in the chat or visit oldsouth.org/Sundays and use the giving portal located there. Friends, what an honor, a privilege, and a gift indeed to share the gifts that we have been given. This morning's offering will now be received.
Oh, Lord, you say,
Let us pray. Gracious, holy, and wonderful God, we thank you for the gifts that we have been given. We thank you for the privilege we have in sharing them in the life and work of this church. We pray this day that these gifts might be used for ministries of beauty, justice, and grace, that these gifts might do some small part to make this world a different, a better place. And Lord, we pray that all of us might have the courage and grace to be instruments of your perfect will for your creation. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind ever be at your back. May the sunshine grace your face. May the rain fall gently on your fields. Until we meet again, dear friends, may God keep you in the palm of her hands. Peace be with you.